All right. Welcome to our study in Ephesians. We have learned about the old man and the new man, and do you remember what that is? Who's the old man? Our old self, the unsaved self, and the new man is after we know Christ and we have come to know him and we become a new man. And the old man is something that, I don't know why, but we seem to mimic it. But anyhow, the new man is you in Christ. And I want to go back to 2 Corinthians 5:17 and just read that again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The new man, the old things, the old man has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And when we listen to that, we think, yeah, but not always all things are new, because we keep slipping back into copying the old man. That's the dilemma. But he doesn't exist anymore. Do you get that? He doesn't exist anymore. And we talked about lying last week as one of the examples that Paul gives of mimicking the old man. So let's just read our scripture. Do you like that old man? Did you like that? Yeah, thought that was cute. All right, so I'm going to read the white and you read the yellow. I'll do it this side this week. But you have not so learned Christ. Indeed, you have heard him and have been taught by him as truth is in Jesus. That you put off, or having put off is the way it should read, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. That you may, having put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And then we had last week, therefore put away lying. I probably don't have a slide for that. Put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. You remember that? I asked you not to be a liar anymore. I wasn't me. It was God, right? Okay, yeah. Some of you called me and said, don't ever call me a liar again. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. All right. So now we're going to move on to the next step, verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let it continue for days or weeks or months or years, nor give place to the devil. Because if we stay angry, we will give it to the devil, won't we? It doesn't take long. And it produces sometimes maybe even a self-righteousness that we end up in sin. So let me just illustrate this. Andy came to work one day, and he was limping, something awful. And one of his coworkers, Josh, noticed and asked, Andy, what happened? And Andy replied, oh, nothing. It's just an old hockey injury that acts up once in a while. And Josh says, wow, I never knew you played hockey. Andy said, no, I don't. I heard it last year when I lost $100 on the Stanley Cup playoffs and I put my foot through the TV. Okay, here's a true story. After spending 3.5 hours enduring long lines, rude clerks, and insane regulations at the Department of Motor Vehicles, Glenn Vaughn, who was a professional baseball player, stopped at the store to pick up a gift for his son. He recalls, I bought my selection, a baseball bat, to the cash register. He said, cash or charge, the clerk said, asked. Cash, he snapped. Then he apologized for his rudeness. He explained, I've spent the entire afternoon at the vehicle bureau. We all know what that's like, don't we? Okay. The woman sweetly replied, shall I gift wrap the bat or are you going to go back there? An estimated 1 in 5 Americans have issues with uncontrolled anger. 28% of homicides start with a domestic dispute in the homes. Isn't that unbelievable? 28%. Let's compare that to gang murders, which is only 7% comparatively. We all get angry at times, amen? Okay. But it doesn't take into account when someone's identity is defined by anger. But until we get to verse 31, and let me just read quickly 31. Let all bitterness, a state of resentment, wrath, meaning fury, anger, clamor, meaning shouting, and evil speaking, insults, be put away or withdrawn from you with all malice, with all badness, is exactly what the word is. Mulling it over, desiring to plan to do harm, hateful feelings. And does verse 31 enter your thoughts at times when you're pretty mad? We phrase anger into other words that don't sound so bad as they really are, like, I'm irritated, I'm put off, I'm put out, I'm exasperated, annoyed, upset, peeved, irked, displeased, frustrated, irritated, mad. But we are not really describing anger here. We're describing the behaviors that we have about anger. And I really want to make that clear this morning, because it says be angry in the scripture, but we turn anger immediately into behavior, right? And then look out for the behavior, because it produces sin. So here's a question I have for you this morning, 1 out of 5. And I have a feeling that that may even be less than 1 out of 5. Is anger part of your identity? Is anger part of who you are? Or what you're known for? And you may not know that. You may be known for that, but nobody will tell you because they don't want to get into the struggle with you. Is it a frequent emotion in your life? Is it really hard to control? Are you overwhelmed at living up to God's standard with anger? Now, I grew up in a 1 out of 5 home. My father was a very, very angry man. Looking back, he had a horrible raising. He was the son of a prostitute, and she was a prostitute only because his father abandoned them, and that was the only way she could make money. And he would get aroused in anger, and at least once a night, if not 3 or 4 times during the night. And if we were lucky, it was only once. I remember even talking to a kid, and he said one time, a friend, and he said one time, because he had the same thing, he said, I always wanted to act like I was the lamp in the house or the end table so that my dad wouldn't see me. And I remember those kind of feelings. When he would come home from work and he'd get out and we could see that face, we all scrambled and took off. And our hearts would sink, and we'd start reviewing in our mind, what did we do wrong today? And is there anything that he can point at? Is there anything that my mom called and told him and that we might have done wrong? And it was that he expected life to be perfect, no problems. And, of course, when you have that kind of attitude, things go wrong, amen? You get that? Yeah. So we kids adopted those expressions of anger, and we thought we weren't like him at all. You know, through growing up, we thought, we will never be like Dad. Okay? When I got married, I had an anger problem, and it was never at Debbie. It was always at my GTO. It would never start on the starter. I always had to start it in compression, and I'd throw wrenches at it and cuss it and all those kind of things. And so Debbie rejected my angry ways. Her dad was not an angry person. And she told me one day, Steve, you're a violent person. Me? Soft-hearted me? Violent? Man, it was hard to swallow. I wasn't violent to her. I never said anything to her in those kind of ways. I was always sweet to her. I just was mad at my GTO. It was situations that I felt like I couldn't control. But I couldn't comprehend that she was describing me, and it was that point of crisis for me that became an aha moment that I thought, wait a minute, I'm adopting the same behaviors my dad did. He used to throw a wrench at his DeSoto or whatever he had at the time. And so it changed the course of my life. The question I had to ask myself is, what am I angry at? I understand what he was angry at. What was I angry at? Were my expectations unrealistic? Yeah. Did I expect people should do what I wanted them to do and it made me mad? Yeah. Was anger a form of manipulation for me? Oh, yeah. Now, understand, it took me a lot of years to see these things. Was I trying to control my out-of-control environment? Yeah. And like I say, it took me a long time to think through these things, really come to the place of admission that these were issues in my life. And so part of my identity was anger. And over the years, it's diminished. But for all of us, I think the idea of being angry, is something that is unrealistic not to have. In fact, Paul says, be angry. Because anger is a God-given emotion and of itself is not sin. Do you understand that? Any emotion that we have is neutral. We just have to figure out why God had those emotions given to us. So anger in itself is not sin. Everybody follow me? You're all just staring at me. Is it because you're all one of the five? Or one out of five, and you don't want to hear this? Okay. Any emotion that God has given us is not sin. It's how we act it out. Do you hear me on that? It's the behavior that we have embraced with that anger or with whatever the emotion is. And for some, you act it out in a huge way, and it's huge sin in your life, and you're scared everybody to death around you, manipulating and doing all those kind of things. Because believe it or not, rage, bitterness, evil speaking, losing your temple, stubborn anger, revenge, getting even, all these are learned behaviors and not emotions. And they are built upon an emotion, but they are behaviors learned from parents, friends, television, right? Boy, don't we learn anger with television. Revenge, right? Kill. It is by our conscious choice on our part, with the power of the Holy Spirit, that we stop behaving in those behaviors. Are you hearing me this morning? Okay. We are mimicking our old dead man that no longer exists because somehow it feels a little comfortable because we were there for quite a while. So how do we keep from exploding in this sin into bad behavior? Be angry and yet or but or and do not sin. So Paul is warning us, do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. In other words, don't let it continue for days or weeks or months or years, but instead, settle it today. Boy, sometimes that's hard, isn't it? Because sometimes, especially when you get accused wrongly, you want to revel in that self-righteousness. Oh, they're so wrong, right? And Paul implies, get it done before your head hits the pillow. And boy, folks that are married, if I can ever encourage you to think of something, get it done before your head hits the pillow. You know what I'm talking about. Every one of you know what I'm talking about because you've let anger go on for a while rather than resolving it before the end of the evening, and it turns into sin every time, doesn't it? All right. All of us have experienced that. All right, so what do you think the emotion of anger is for? In other words, God gave us anger. He gave us love. He gave us different emotions. And so he gave us anger. What do you think anger is for? Well, here's my thought. It's the internal strength, the energy, the push to approach the situation with the person you need to approach and talk about it. And that may even be God. When we're afraid to confront and we have that, you know what I'm talking about, that passive sense of maybe it'll just pass. And you don't want to rock the boat. The emotion of anger gives us the strength, if we channel it correctly, to say something, to confront the situation. The emotion of anger gives us strength to say something. So how we say it when we do approach it is how we've learned to express our anger. And that behavior, my friends, can be changed. Oh, man. You guys are just sitting there. Are you guys, is this not a comfortable subject? I'm thinking I'm just having fun up here. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's a tough subject, isn't it? So God is addressing this issue today with us because you are a new person in Christ. And yes, through his help, you can actually change it. I did. I don't think I'm that angry person anymore. Do I get upset once in a while? Yeah. Do I get angry at times? Yeah. The Bible says be angry, but don't sin. But I immediately go into the thought process of, okay, with this anger, what do I need to do? Who do I need to talk about? Or, talk with, not talk about. That was a Freudian slip, I think, yeah. Listen to this out of James 1, 19, 20. We're studying this on Wednesday. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, right? Slow to speak, slow to wrath, slow to anger. For the wrath or anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Did you hear that? Let me read that again, because I know a lot of you missed that, okay? For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So, you know, when you're looking at it, how do you handle that anger? Well, you know, when my kids were growing up, Debbie and I felt like it was my job to discipline. She would discipline if I was at work. But when I'm at home, it's my job as the man. Ephesians 6 says, men, discipline your kids, right? And so I would do that. And every time my kids would do a sin, right? I could feel that anger kind of welling up. And so I'd take a few moments. I'd sort it out. There's times I would have to process it with my wife to make sure that I realized they aren't trying to hurt me. They're just little sinners. And you know it, because it only takes about 9 months, doesn't it? And you start seeing the sin come out in kids, okay? And they're just little sinners. They're rebellious. They have their problems just like I do. So it's not a frontal attack on me. So I would talk to her, or I would just sit and think about it. And then I would discipline and it would be calm. Now, if I didn't take that time, the anger would take over into behavior in those days. And Paul makes this point. I would give place to the devil. Because anger, not dealt with, always moves to sin. Do you hear me this morning? always moves to sin. Don't kid yourself. Don't think you can hang on to anger for a long time and it doesn't turn to sin. You are in sin because God says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And then we have anger turned inward. Maybe you turn it inward and you try to deny it's there, and all of a sudden you find yourself in one of two places: depression, anger turns inward, or rage, because you're not dealing with the issue. So we get depressed, or we build up to the explosion. Do you know what I'm talking about? The explosion, where finally you go to your mate after 8 or 9 hits and you go, blah, right? And then you're both, you go all the way back to the days you were dating and go forward and all the things that you've done wrong and all these kind of things. Why? Because you didn't take care of it before your head hit the pillow. And then, who wins? Nobody. You can't afford to give Satan the opportunity, because he will take it. I guarantee you, he'll take it. So let's apply the battle plan that we did last week to this. Battle plan, there's 3 pieces. Number 1, admit the struggle. Okay, this is the hardest one. It's like an alcoholic admitting, I'm a drunk. Or a drug addict saying, you know what, I'm a drug addict. And we all look at it and think, why do you have a hard time admitting that? Because it's hard to admit we're weak, isn't it? And so we admit it and we say, and I want to speak to your hearts this morning. Can you admit that your anger at times is out of control? Can you admit that? Now, when I say out of control, you may act controlled, but doesn't mean you're in control. And if you could admit your anger problem, or you can't admit it, I'm sorry, then you lose, your family loses, your friends loses, your kids loses. And you know what? It's okay to admit it. Because everybody here has addictions. Everybody here has weak areas in their life and strengths in their life. You are not, I know this could be tough, but you are not perfect. Amen? Yeah. We are weak people. We have the flesh. Number 2, identify the underlying lie you believe in. Let me just ask some questions. Here's maybe the lies. Anger gets things done. It's kind of true, isn't it, in a way? But the lie is that anger is sin when it turns that way. It's not really that bad, right? Don't you feel like the old lovable me inside, no matter where your anger's at? I have better control of my world when I'm mad. I have well-behaved wife and kids through my anger. Hey, listen, I love a nickel for every time I've heard that. I'm being reasonable. I have a case, and so I have the right to be angry. Even though everybody else has to walk on eggshells. I'm kinder after I've erupted. What's your lie? I almost want to say, what's in your wallet? Yeah. What's in your heart? And 3, we replace it with the truth. Proverbs 19:11, sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered person starts fights. A cool-tempered person stops them. Ecclesiastes 7:9, control your temper, for anger labels you a fool. 2 Timothy 2:24, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. But you might ask the question, well, Steve, what if I've been wronged? 1 Peter 2:19 and 20. For God is pleased with you when you do what is right and patient endure unfair treatment. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you are beaten for wrongdoing. But if you suffer for doing good, endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. Isn't that a neat verse? What about my friend's anger? Proverbs 22:24 through 25. Don't befriend an angry person or associate with a hot-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them. That's the behavior, isn't it? You will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. So how am I supposed to respond to people then? Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. A soft word turns away wrath. So listen this morning. Will you consider how you demonstrate your anger? I'm not asking if you get angry, because we all get angry. But how do you demonstrate it? Is it hurting people around you? Is it scaring people around you? Do you find that people are real walking on eggshells or a little codependent around you or whatever, trying to make things comfortable? You can see that if you look. Are you acting or reacting? Is your anger a strength to confront the issues? Or is it to bash? Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, nor give place to the devil. Let's pray. Father, we come this morning because every one of us have issues with this area. Every one of us. I think we're fooling ourselves if we don't. Father, help us to not try to hide the anger, but if we're angry, you say, be angry. And then use that emotion to channel strength to go talk about the issue, or to be able to talk about the issue right then and resolve it. Lord, help us to understand those emotions in our life that cause us grief. And then, Lord, through your strength, can we control those areas like the proverb said, where we control that anger and use it for the benefit of love and everybody else? And may we be about loving one another, not about being angry with one another. When our heads are bowed, you might have come this morning and maybe you don't know Christ. Maybe you've come and you don't have a relationship with him and that's what you're looking for. Let me talk to you this morning. Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and the wages of that sin is death. But he goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9 tells us exactly what we need to do to have a relationship with God. Turn from our ways and come around and have a relationship with God. And it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if I'm talking to you, my friend, this morning, I'm going to pray a little prayer, nothing magical about the prayer, just kind of pray back that verse that tells us how to be saved. And you just pray along with me in your heart or whisper. The prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and life, and be the Lord of my life. Lord, I believe that you rose from the dead, just as that Bible said, and obviously you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today. And may I live for you and be that new man. Your heads are still bowed. If you prayed that prayer and you really meant it, and will you raise your hand up and put it back down? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Want to give your heart to Christ this morning? Father, we thank you so much Lord, I just pray that you be with these that raise their hand to begin to question and come in, talk to us after the service. Lord, I just pray that they will begin to generate that relationship with you because you're already in their heart at the point of that prayer. According to your word, you've baptized them by the Spirit into the body of Christ with the rest of us, and they're now yours. And so, Lord, help them to be have the desire to grow and to grow. And Lord, may you be praised this morning. Thank you so, Lord, for making it so easy for us. And Lord, through that, may we walk in the way that you've called us to walk as people. May you help us to deal with this anger thing in our life. And Lord, free us from those places where we have bad behavior and drop that, become loving people, strong, loving people. May you be glorified in all that. In Jesus' name, amen.